someone who just downloaded Myst
what?
Onto his Nintendo what? Switch. It's available now. Myst? It's available now because I didn't give Myst a shot. And here's the thing that I was reminded of when I opened it on my Nintendo Switch. Myst is a scary game.
I've never played
it. It creeps me out, man.
Like, I feel like you had to have a high-powered computer when we were kids. And it all, I mean, I bring this up every show, how we are doing a show on a young platform, but we are always referencing some old-ass stuff like Myst, the video game.
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah. Echo the Dolphin. Yeah. That you...
Why did I
hold on.
Into like a whole cinematic universe?
How? Like, I don't understand. I mean, I guess I was surprised by Sonic, which was actually surprisingly good.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, Sonic had characters. It had like a deep fan base. It had more relevance. Like, if you Echo the Dolphin doesn't even have a personality. Like, Sonic had a cartoon. And Sonic had a fan base that does not compare to Echo. You just say stuff sometimes.
Did they make
that's
a
what it
Crash
comes down
Bandicoot
to.
Movie?
No personality. Ooh. Crash Bandicoot feels like it was a movie, although
Toe
maybe
Jam
it's just
Earl.
So obvious that it should have been.
What about Toe Jam and
Earl? Toe Jam and Earl, Battletoads.
Oh.
Kevin Clark, you ever play Battletoads or no? You were just a Sega Genesis guy.
I was a Sega CD, Sega Genesis type guy, but I didn't have Battletoads, no.
I respect that. Do you remember, is it still like a religion now? Because I feel like in early days, you had to be a Sega guy or a Nintendo guy. Is that same thing exist for Xbox and PlayStation?
Well, I think
or are we cross-platform
The supply chain made it so you take what you get.
I think the divide now is like PC versus console, right? Yeah. So the console has to group up and I don't know. I don't have the time or resources to devote all the, it seems like a whole complicated, like it feels like cryptocurrency to be in the like PC gaming world. You got to like modify your
own you build a rig. Right? Yes. You're like mining somehow. Your electricity bill is like multiplied by 50.
Let's get older.
Oh, man. Welcome, I guess, to Debatable. Line. Guys, it is the last show we're going to do in the year 2021. How does that feel?
I mean, it feels great to me. What? Are you sad? How else is it supposed to feel? There's only one way
for it. I don't know how to feel. We're off, Kevin.
Get excited.
This is our Christmas
show. Best holiday of the year. Love, Sam.
Dominique, for those who may have tuned into the last show, could not be a bigger... He hates it, Kevin, when I say at least that he's wearing black Santa merch.
Pablo, what are you doing?
Just
this is
Santa.
Like unnecessary. Like the man's name is Clarence Claus, Santa. Like we all know that it's a well-known fact. I'm not down with you and your black Santa. Like if you want to talk about white Santa, feel free. But if you talk about Santa, like it seems unnecessary.
Like I you know, Dominic, I apologize.
Yeah,
Dominic, I apologize. White Kevin, welcome to Debatable as well.
Welcome, White Kev.
Our friend Kevin Clark is here, also in New York.
Dominic
is on top of his technology in every possible way. Alabaster, how are we doing a Christmas combination New Year's show on Wednesday, December 22nd here?
Well, we're going to figure that out as we go. I do have an important piece of news, though. A Crash Bandicoot movie is currently in production.
Oh, yeah.
It should be out in 2022.
Of course it is. Of course. Do we know who's playing Crash Bandicoot?
It is a CGI Crash Bandicoot.
Oh,
I'm not sure who's voicing it.
I mean, I got to tell you, did you guys see Sonic? So my kids wanted to see it. I was being kind of judgmental. Saw it. Jim Carrey, fantastic in that movie. It's great.
Mm. As Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, check
see,
it out.
So they retconned Dr. Robotnik, Kevin, into like, you know, a non-egg-shaped person, apparently, which I kind of have issues with as a Sonic canonical fan.
I just hope that they maintain the integrity of Crash Bandicoot throughout the process.
See, Pablo, you've developed a new part of your game. So, like, the jump pass was your old move, where you jump up in the air, unsure what you're going to do with it. Now, you just do the random alley-oop, where you just throw, like, hey, I don't like that. He's not egg-shaped anymore. And then look at the screen, like, what the hell are we going to do with that?
Oh, you know what I did see, though? Speaking of me throwing basketballs at your faces when you're not actually anticipating the pass, I saw the trailer for the next Sonic. You know what they brought in the next Sonic?
Knuckles?
They brought in Knuckles,
yeah.
But Knuckles is evil. And I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, yeah. Evil, I mean, Knuckles.
What was Knuckles originally? I mean, wasn't Knuckles originally
Pablo,
evil? Are you confusing
honest.
Knuckles
wait,
with
was,
Tails?
Was, no. Wait, Knuckles was evil, though? I just remember putting in one cartridge into another. You know, like you like docking one cartridge into the other cartridge, and then you'd like access. That was awesome, by the way. Speaking of the tangibility of the video game medium, a dying art form.
Pablo, by the time that the Mario movie comes out with Chris Pratt, it is going to violate video game canon norms that you will be dying for Evil Knuckles. You will kill for Evil Knuckles. When you hear Chris Pratt doing the Mario voice, say, who's playing Wario? I haven't even heard. Who's Waluigi?
They should cast Adrian Brody as Wario, but I believe it is not going to be as Waluigi, rather. I don't believe they've cast that role yet. Elon Musk is another, yes, valid Wario suggestion.
Charlie Day is Luigi in that movie. That's incredible.
Charlie Day is outstanding. I find Charlie Day, well, he's a little short to be Luigi. Like, I feel like Luigi, but maybe we shouldn't be worried about the body nearly as much as, like, Luigi has to be comic relief, right? Like, that's his point. Charlie Day is a pretty funny guy.
Yeah. I just feel like there should be an organization somewhere, like, that should be furious. To Kevin's point, that they cast Chris Pratt as Mario.
Like an Italian organization or a Japanese
some
organization, because like the whole thing is absurd. Like it's a
Someone's
Japanese company. It's a
this
Japanese company with an Italian mascot. Like it's so confusing. Who's like a hyper stereotypical, like pasta eating plumber with a fat belly who says, "It's a me, Mario."
There is no way to come out of this movie uncanceled. No way.
I think Dominique just got canceled.
I want a documentary on the one Italian guy who lived in Japan when they first came out with the Mario Brothers and was running around the streets like, this is offensive. This is offensive. And like Japanese with an Italian accent. That is the documentary I want.
Like Lost in Translation. Lost in Translation, but Mario, basically, is what you're asking for.
Yes.
The one guy.
I want a documentary,
in Tokyo.
I want a documentary. I want a documentary where we go back and explore how it felt to be have your whole identity made a joke, and then they made the most successful video game company ever. I guess like it's still around, popping, percolating.
You know, I did hear that if you turn the volume all the way up on the last scene in Lost in Translation, what Bill Murray actually whispers is, "It's a me."
I don't think this qualifies as a tangent since we haven't started the show. Like, you have to be on a path in order to be tangent. Like, this is the path.
Mathematically
now.
Speaking, yes.
What we talk about next
straight line.
Will then be the tangent. Like,
the
we've been on
probably
this video
thinks
game
this was
thing
the plan.
From this kickoff.
You guys ready to talk about some sports?
Sure.
Fine. I mean, it's not like we had football games last night or anything.
We're only talking about one of them, to be fair. But our question is, who deserves the most blame for the way the Seahawks season has gone?
So we're just in the Knives Out phase of this. Like, we're now in a murder mystery. Like, who did it? And there are lots of suspects. There are lots and lots of suspects. The two big ones, of course, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. I'm curious where you guys land. Who did it with the candlestick in the library?
Murder on the Orient Express.
So, Dominique,
I just laid that there for you, Pablo. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. Ball right into face, bouncing back.
Just waiting for you to do something with it.
I'm putting it squarely on the front office. That includes Pete Carroll. Remember, Pete Carroll is not a small part of the front office. He has ultimate say over John Schneider, the GM. They assembled in 2011, 2012, even 2010, some of the best talent in the history of football. Like, that roster in 2013, 2014 was as good as any roster in the modern era. That is no longer the case. I was looking at PFF this morning. Of their 22 starters, there is one player who is in the top 10 at their position. It's Bobby Wagner. One player out of 22 starters.
He's good.
That's really bad drafting. That's a terrible allocation of resources. Trading two first-round picks for Jamal Adams, they can't even fix this because the Jets have their top 10 pick next year. This is really, really bad. Alex Ferguson, the best manager in the history of sports, Manchester United, built the whole thing. He believed that teams had a four-year cycle, and you had to keep recycling and recycling after 4 years. I kind of agree with that in the NFL. Schneider has had to rebuild his team basically three times over since the Legion of Boom, and this was a dud. This was a failure. Carroll is in charge of that. I would put it at both of their feet. This is a really bad roster right now. I don't blame Russ for wanting to leave. he does not have help, and he's not.
He's incredibly right prepared. This dude knows his stuff.
He's not. Russell Wilson, in his current form, banged up, is not good enough to fill the holes created by John Schneider and Pete Carroll on draft day.
Was your Orient Express reference before? Was that racist? You just realized that maybe you were ethnically making fun of me.
No, I wasn't making fun of you. I was giving you an opportunity to point out how absurd it is. But I do know that things can be oriental, but people cannot. I understand that.
I'm pretty offended still, even after that explanation.
but back to what Kevin said. Dominique, Alabaster put down a card praising how prepared and how good Kevin is at this show. It's deserved. Yeah, the ooh, don't kill him, Kevin card. Deserved. Kevin is going to carry us through today. I want to throw an argument, though, that flies in the face of what Kevin just said. And I'm curious what you think of it, Dominique, which is that Russell Wilson sucks now. Is that really everyone else's fault?
Everyone else has sucked for a while on that offense, at least from Russell's perspective, and they've been good. So, like, he and a bunch of other players who – not a bunch, but several players who are struggling, I feel like they deserve, like, some leeway. I think Dak Prescott falls in that category as someone who I, like, am gentle with, even though he hasn't played well lately. I think Russell coming off a finger injury is also someone who deserves that type of protection. So no,
man, that was tepid.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I can't.
No. Your defense of Russell Wilson is understandably tepid, Kevin. And this is what I did today to prepare for this show. I just made sure that I could say that Russell Wilson sucks, and it does seem like he does in fact suck. I mean, the things that I have noticed watching him this year, also, it feels like he does need. And this is going to buttress your point. It does feel like he needs a really good running game to do the things that unlock, like Russell Wilson, big throw guy. Like the guy who catches defenses, decapitates them. It feels like this version of Russell Wilson needs a lot more help than he did. Okay. I at least thought he did.
Sure. So you know who Russell Wilson is? He's Dave Grohl. Because on the 2012-2013 Seahawks.
So you guys are boxing me out in the conversation? You decided to box me out of the conversation?
I want you to take this analogy and either run with it or throw it right back in my face. He's Dave Grohl. He was the backdrop to that initial team. When they won the Super Bowl in 2013, he did a lot of good things. He was a huge contributor, but he was not the best player, not even close to it. He was a cog in the machine. And then
I'm Googling Dave Grohl right now as you speak.
And so then his role kept growing and growing and growing until he was the front man. He was doing everything. He was writing the songs. He had full control over everything. But at some point, even Dave Grohl needs a little help from Taylor Hawkins and Chris Shiflett and those guys around him. I'm not even a Foo Fighters fan, but for some reason I know the names of the guys in the band.
Prepared about everything?
I honestly don't know why I have two members of Foo Fighters in my brain. I have no idea why. I've never seen them live. I can't even name anything outside of their hits, but for some reason that's in my brain. Okay. Having said that,
Dave Grohl was a part of Nirvana.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And that he was the drummer for Nirvana, in the same way Russell Wilson was the quarterback of the Legion of Boom.
Now he leads the Fighters of Foo.
That's right.
Right? Is that what we're talking about? Why are they called Foo Fighters? What is Foo, and why do they fight it?
Oh, my God. You know what I did see recently?
Stumped you. I thought he was prepared for everything. Stumped him.
First off, what Dominique quietly has been doing, Kevin, in the background here, he texted me. This is how good a friend Dominique is. This is what he texted me.
A good friend. Let's get awkward.
You're a good friend. You said, I'm sorry, period. Are you actual upset? Of course, he forgot to put actually upset, but was actually concerned that I would be offended by his murder on the Orient Express joke. What a great friend, Dominique.
I'm not a good friend.
He was able to text and Google what band did Dave Grohl join.
Clearly, I'm uncomfortable. I didn't mean any offense, and we've moved past it all the way on to the fact that you boxed me out of rock conversation, and you bring it back up and put it on the table. Why don't you text back? Nah, I'm good. I know what you meant. That's all you had to do. That's it.
Because I believe in journalistic transparency.
I don't.
Dominique.
I don't. Then why are you working here?
Alabaster, what do you want?
I just have a question for Dominique. Did you really have to carry water for Dak Prescott in this topic?
Wow.
Like, what? Wow.
Oh, I missed again? That, actually. I did miss that part. Good point.
So, I mean, water is a necessity. You need it more than food, or more urgently, at least, than food to live. So I am not at any stretch going to be embarrassed or ashamed or apologize for carrying water. Yes, we need water. Dak needs water. I would carry water for Kevin, should he need it. So, yes, he doesn't, because he's very prepared. Unlike...
has good skin, too. Clearly hydrates well.
Wilson, who has a busted finger and no running. But you did say he needs a run. Oh, yeah, that's good skin.
Yeah, there it is. Good skin. Impressive. That's what I'm saying.
I mean...
Did you put on powder today, Kevin, or no?
I did.
Did you at the seaport? You did. Okay.
Yeah, good for you.
A dash of powder. I
appreciate your journalistic transparency. Transparency, Dominic. That's what Debatable's about.
You know, it's been... I haven't slept the last couple of days. You know, you just kind of... You got to spruce it up a little bit.
I mean, yeah. Are you... So you're... Hold on. The whole point of makeup is to deceive people. And somehow you're applauding this man's honesty while he's deceiving people. This is all natural. These wrinkles, this shine, this glisten, it's the real thing. Talk about, you see these corners right here? How these corners are getting back off the hashes? This is all real. I'm not spray painting nothing, not dabbing no powder here. This is the picture of honesty, me and my man, Clarence.
I like how your hairline became a really bad prevent defense.
It's not a bad prevent defense. Like, we as a defense, we discussed this a bit on yesterday's show. We are strong up the front. Like, you're not going to run on us. That's for damn sure. But you might be able to attack the edges. Like, an outside stretch could be a problem. You know, we're not giving up deep passes either, though, because we're good right here. But you throw a 10-yard out, yeah, you might get that. 8-yard out, you in business.
Bend did not break.
Wide
Bend
zone,
did not break.
You in business. But you're not going up the middle on me, man. No George Jefferson action here. We are stout right down the pike.
Speaking of a totally delusional interpretation of how good one's defense is, where do the Seahawks go, Kevin, in the offseason here? Like, what do you do? This is a question that I would like the answer to so I can steal it later.
Yeah.
But what do you do if you're running the Seahawks now?
Okay, so not to be more prepared, John Schneider's under contract through the 2027 draft. Pete Carroll, 2025. Russell Wilson, 2023. There are no easy answers right now. You kind of have to think about blowing it up a little bit. There's been a change in ownership since Paul Allen passed away. We don't know kind of what Jody Allen wants to do with the team as far as just competitively. I don't know.
Jody Allen, just to be clear, the person who owns the Blazers, who are also in the middle of great organizational dysfunction and like, where the hell do we go with Damian Lillard? That person is also running this team, which I did not realize until right now. Of course. That's okay. Got it.
So I think that we have to kind of learn how Jody Allen wants to run the organization, but Russell Wilson wants to leave. We learned that last year. He's not going to want to stay through a total blow up. He's not going to want to recruit some new coach or have some coach learn on the job. He wants to go into a team that's going to win now. And he wants to be, I really like Russell Wilson, but he wants to be more famous. Like that's what he wants to do. That was why the rumors a couple of years ago where he wanted to go play in New York. If he still wants to, then I don't know if he wants to win or where he wants to be famous, but that's a separate category. But he wants to go to a place where his profile is going to be raised. He wants to play in big games. It's only natural. Right now, Seattle has failed him. They've done right by him for years and years and years, but they're failing him currently. I think you have to think about just starting over, getting a ton of first-round picks for Russell Wilson, building up that draft capital and going from there.
I think the Saints are the best place for him to go if that works out. B, Pablo, it's so quick that you are cheating on me. Like, I used to be the person that you asked so that you could steal the takes. Like,
I know.
Kevin give you one. We're not even through the first topic. We're like midway through the first topic, and you've already started deciding that his takes are the takes that you're going to take. Don't take this man's takes. My takes are your takes.
So for the podcast audience, we now have a podcast. Go subscribe to it. Get our feed. When Kevin Clark has been speaking, giving very well-prepared thoughts, Dominique has been making faces. Like...
Yeah, so that's a good also audio happening. Representation of the faces I'm making.
exactly right. Exactly right. That's how I believe Tails sounded.
I read all the articles. I am good at my job. I call executives and talk to them. I watched all 22. Pablo, look at my sexy answers. Why don't you have one?
Dominic trying to hide that he is one of the most prepared.
Stop it!
Analyst.
That I have carved myself out a niche right here as the antagonist. I'm the cool guy. You're the nerds. It's clearly where I am. Get in the locker, both of you.
He came on my podcast in September.
You nerds. Get in the locker, nerds.
He came on my podcast in September and had done more research than anybody who's ever appeared in my podcast.
Get in the locker, nerds. Next topic.
Broad
next topic.
Points.
Of course,
next
Kevin.
Topic.
No, this is how we. This next is how topic. We, this
nerds.
Is how we
he asked me to tee him up on things. It was
next topic.
Oh,
nerds.
It was a, you know what it was?
Oh,
you know what
I
it
see
was,
how
Papa?
It is.
Next
it was
topic.
A
nerds.
Tour de force of preparation when he came on my podcast.
Get that makeup off your face and show these forehead wrinkles. Show the forehead wrinkles. Don't be ashamed. Let him
live.
Let me
tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm like Barry Bonds, okay? Even if you took this off, I'd still be great. Okay? I was great. My skin was great before the makeup. Just like Barry Bonds, it will be great afterwards, okay?
You spent
two
a long
Hall
time
of
in L.A.
Careers.
You spent
natural
a long time
talent.
In L.A. You might have some other PEDs going on. They're loose with the knife out there.
Alabaster. The ooh, don't kill him, Kevin card borderline patronizing.
Borderline. So you guys ready to move on?
Yeah, I said like right. 15
Dominic
times.
I was asking the group.
For a long time.
Looking for a quorum. Okay. Yeah. I don't think you guys are going to take this topic that seriously, but we'll give it a shot. Is LeBron right that we can't assess this Lakers team yet?
If there is one thing, LeBron James, that you should know, we will never stop assessing you. We will assess you forever. Yep. Like, you can argue about, is this team the Wash King champion, blah, blah. We're gonna talk about you so much.
We're still assessing Michael Jordan.
Yes, yes. We're assessing Scottie Pippen. Like, we can't stop.
Well,
doing
I think
this.
Scottie Pippen wants to be assessed, yes. though. Like, yeah. It's very different where
he's absolutely assessed.
LeBron, I mean, Michael put out a 10 episode documentary. Like, he clearly wanted us to talk about it. And then Scottie put out some liquor and some real bad quotes and a book. And he clearly wants to be assessed again. LeBron, I don't know that he's out here looking for this assessment, but it's kind of what this is all built the top of. Like, the last 15 years of sports media, at least outside of football, it's been LeBron centric. So I'm sorry, maybe it's not fair, but like, we understand that it's kind of something you have to deal with. It's just the way it is. And it gives you, like, it gives him motivation, some narrative, something else to do, because they can go to playoffs and win a championship.
No,
and he can say, no, I told y'all.
Yes. Like, LeBron, I mean, look, this is where it's weird, because LeBron is trying to become the underdog. He's been trying to do this ever since hashtag Wash King, and honestly before that, right? The whole Cleveland thing was also about this. But right now, what's funny and also very dystopian, of course, in the NBA is that all of these old guys are being signed off of the street because all of these replacement players are needed, because everyone has Omicron. 90% of the NBA, like a lot of America, like a lot of the world at this point, has the Omicron variant. What's indicting, though, about LeBron, Kevin, is that LeBron's been, you know, doing the I'm going to sign old guys off the street move long before the variant. Like, this is a double indictment, it seems, of his entire capacity as shadow general manager, too.
Are you saying that, like, Mike Miller and Rashard Lewis in Miami were not in the prime of their careers? Is that what you're trying to imply here?
I'm just saying, Rajon Rondo, maybe the experiment has had enough of a sample for us to declare him.
Mike Miller limping to the three-point line was a problem for you?
The D-Wade era in Cleveland, I think, is the nail in the coffin for that. Then, obviously, this year, Melo. Oh.
Yeah, 17 different starting lineups. No team has had more permutations of a five-man group than that. The big apocalyptic concern here, right, because currently the Lakers, I believe, in seventh place. They're 500. You know, it's about Anthony Davis. Like, Russell Westbrook, we know, is not a third guy at a big three. I've had that take for a while. It's not particularly brave of me, but it does seem like that's officially a thing we can all feel good about declaring. But Anthony Davis, who's out for the next 4 weeks with a sprained MCL, who is, I believe, 28 years old, who seems to be on the decline. Like, if you're LeBron, where I want to go in our assessment, I mean, big picture, long range, maybe not today, but like a month from now, is
LeBron going to leave the Lakers?
Because that's how
there's people
bad
who are already there, Pablo.
Don't rush
Perkins
it
is already there. My don't boss, Bill it Simmons, is already there. Like, there are people right who are there. You can wait a month, but I don't think the NBA gossip mill is going to wait a month for you. Like, we can't circle back on this in mid-January. Like, we're moving now. By the way, a couple things. Speaking of preparation. So, first of all, 405 minutes together this year. AD and LeBron plus four when they're on
numbers
the court together. Okay, plus four.
That's not good enough.
That's not good enough, Dominique. Exactly right. Like, this is not dominant. This
inserted
is not
my
dominant.
Name. That
and
man's
so
a pro.
There's two different conversations about that we can sort of divvy up here. We can hold off on assessing whether or not the Lakers are better than this, but we can assess whether or not they're title contenders, and they're not. They're not going
right
to. There's no path. There's no path for it. We can make the call right now. I'm calling it. I've seen
ooh,
enough.
Oh, look at this.
Washington.
Affirmative hot take.
I've seen enough.
Affirmative
not
hot take.
Oh, he nuanced his way into a hot take.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Dominique. He covered all angles of this. Like, there's nothing left for me to say. Just sit down and appreciate how expertly he navigated all of this.
But honestly, the question of are the Lakers actually a title contender this year? I mean, it is worth remembering, right? They were the 7th seed last year. Everyone was like, you don't want to play the Lakers, don't want to play the Lakers. Yeah. And then the Suns played the Lakers, and it was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Look, I've had one take for a very long time that I've been proud of, which is you never sell stock in LeBron James during the regular season.
Right.
Like, don't do it. And for the record, like,
Brady,
we're talking a lot of mess. Yes, the Tom Brady rule. We've talked a lot of mess about the Lakers. What LeBron personally is doing is still validating that understanding, right? Like, he's been awesome. He's been incredible. It just does feel like the way that he gets to the NBA Finals is, and this is more plausible than in any other year, arguably, everyone else mysteriously getting injured or sick.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't think we can say he's not in this thing, but the odds absolutely have shifted in a very stark way against him.
You just said to me and to Dominique that the only path, the most likely path for LeBron making the finals is that there's a reenactment of the Simpsons softball episode where just everybody has a misfortune and he gets there. Does that sound like a good strategy to you, Pablo? Does that sound like a likely option here? I feel
that
like we're making
roster construction right there.
Because, Pablo, you have your Tom Brady rule here. You don't want to sell stock. And I have that Tom Brady rule.
I don't.
I am the last person in the world off the Tom Brady bandwagon every single year. The year that they lost to Tennessee and got destroyed in the fourth quarter, I was like, I'm not going to send a tweet saying Tom Brady looks bad. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. They were down. He was
throwing ended
pick
in a
sixes.
Pick six.
Yeah. He looked like Jared Goff out there. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hold off on judgment here. I'm not going to call him Jameis Winston here, okay? But it was – having said that, I know a bad team when I see it. And right now, I just don't see, even with Anthony Davis, anything that can be construed as a top Western Conference team.
Man, so how many championships you have to get to? Because four is not enough, and eight is clear, or seven is clearly enough. So where is the championship line to get the Kevin Clark bump of like, I won't doubt you? Because it seems like Brady won't get that doubt, even when he's throwing pick sixes in the fourth quarter. LeBron has gotten the doubt.
Well, okay, so because I cover the NFL full time, I'm less comfortable throwing out completely reckless, unfounded hot takes.
But you do watch the Orlando Magic, and you have declared that you know a bad team when you see one, which means that you just also called the Lakers the Orlando Magic.
That's what I'm saying. I was going to actually get to that specific take. Very direct. I want to clarify.
It must be six titles. It's the Jordan line, right?
I want to clarify, right. Pablo. They're not the Magic. Because the Magic have good young players. What I would say is that when they played in Brooklyn on Saturday, I went to the game, and there were five guys from Lakeland who had just signed. Hassani, Gravett, guys like that. You know, all the favorites.
Of course.
I would say that team is more analogous to the Lakers team. Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say, you know, the Lakers wish they had a Cole Anthony, a Franz Wagner, you know, that kind of core.
Once we get
instead, they're just
to
stuck with
the
G-League
portion
Davis.
of the question. I think it's time for an alabaster interjection.
I actually have some stats that might be valuable, and they validate your argument.
Kevin already got those. We don't need those stats.
Well, to Pablo's point about not selling stock in LeBron James, when LeBron James is on the floor without Anthony Davis and without Russell Westbrook, the team is plus 11 per 100 possessions. When LeBron James is on the floor with Anthony Davis, And without Russell Westbrook, what we ostensibly would think is their best lineup, they're minus 11 per 100 possessions. LeBron and Davis have not been good together, which is one of the most shocking developments of the season.
I want some minutes numbers on this. I need to know how many minutes we're talking. Is this a big enough sample size?
When it's AD and LeBron, it's 405 minutes. They're plus four.
Thank you. I mean, clearly you've Dominique's done your research.
Gone. I love how Dominique's gone from preparing for the show to demanding that other people do the work for him while on the show.
That's mountaintop behavior. That's when you get
Mount
there.
Mount Rushmore behavior, Dominique,
when you get
is what
there,
that is. Absolutely.
You just delegate. And then you yell a little bit. And then you make a joke. And you delegate.
Alabaster, I feel like...
It's time for the next topic.
Yeah, that. I feel right. That.
Well, it's point. Actually time for a game.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. Wow, and that game is what are the chances? We'll give you a topic. You tell us the chances. First topic. What are the chances we get Alabama-Georgia in the national championship game?
Oh, can we all agree that this is the... Wait, what did you say, Dominique? What was your answer there? Oh, wow. 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 Strong off the top. Kevin,
my name's.
Are you? Where are you going Fox. On that?
There we go. Yeah. Oh, what yep. just happened there? You just. Yeah,
oh,
there you
oh
go.
I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah. Just
Apex Predator. I just put Dominique on top instinctively.
Okay. Oh, I'm going.
That's sad. You just yeah, just shading me in order to protect yourself by groveling to him.
Pablo,
that's
you yourself,
Alabaster.
Like last week, you declared yourself a bottom. Like you on this episode or on this program said, I am a bottom on two separate episodes, actually.
Power. Bottom.
Okay.
There is a difference.
Power?
Especially in Brazil, which is a thing everybody knows.
Here we go. Kevin, you can leave now. There's nothing holding you in this chair.
I was just about to ask.
You can get up and walk away whenever you want
to. No, we need him. We really do need him to stay.
The answer is 95% because of what Pablo actually referenced in the last segment, which is that it's a weird world right now and weird things happen. And Georgia is better than Michigan. They have better athletes on defense. They have 1 through 85 or however many scholarships athletes they have are just better. And they have the best recruiting run in history, really, right now. So I think that they're going to win over Michigan. I think Alabama is going to win pretty easily unless something extremely weird happens with the variant, with injuries, whatever. This is going to be all SEC.
So shout out to Michigan today, by the way, for having the whole team get boosted.
Yep,
that's just together. A sincere thing that I also think is very smart strategically yes. for the reasons Kevin just said. Honestly, everyone should do that for entirely self-interested reasons having to do with wanting to win games, let alone like public health. I'm going to employ a veteran tactic, though, Alabaster, because we now have, 195? I'm going to go zero because you guys have left me a lot of territory, a lot of room to roam here, if I'm right. And I know that I'm going to parrot some 538 stuff just for the listener here, then in case they actually want to know things from smart people also. So they give Georgia 37% right now to win the title. Alabama's 36, Michigan's 18, Cincinnati's 9. The thing that I hope we can all agree on, though, is that Georgia-Alabama is the least fun iteration of the title game, right? Like, that's the one we do want the least. Nah. That's how I feel about this.
No,
I mean, I guess because you don't want a rematch, but I mean...
Yeah, I just saw this. That's my whole thing.
I, sure, like, I feel confident that that'll be a more competitive game, I guess. Or I'm more confident that that game will be competitive than I am any other combination.
And also, weird things happen. Florida and Florida State played each other twice in 1996 after Florida State
Look
won the last
man.
Game of the
Look
year.
Look at him.
And wow. Florida, no, I just, I'm growing up in Florida. I remember this. Whew. And Florida came back and dominated.
Computer.
And so.
That creaseless brow. It's a computer behind it.
There's no service in this office, so even if I wanted to have a computer, I couldn't.
So Dominique, he said you're so stupid, you don't even know I have Wi-Fi right now.
I really don't. I wish I had Wi-Fi.
I've been in that office. You're sitting right in front of a computer. Like, I know where you're sitting right now. You're in the Seaport. It's called the closet, as we call it. People podcast in there. There's a camera connected to a computer that is right over your left shoulder that you just have to turn on, and you can search the internet if you so choose. I already said that the computer was behind your creaseless brow, so I'm not accusing you of anything, but you're being awfully suspicious.
The computer right now literally just says the words Dominique Fox on it. It's a huge Zoom window.
That you don't want to log into that. There's a lot of NSFW content behind that.
Come
login
on, Pablo,
window.
Why are you snitching? Always snitching.
But from a football nerd perspective here.
Oh, man.
Seeing, Dominique, you will know this, but seeing Alabama dismantle the Georgia defense through the air in the SEC championship game was fascinating. Georgia has the talent to make adjustments and try to get home against Bryce Young in some way, and then it's a completely different game. Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are two of the best coaches in football. As we said, these are the two of the most talented rosters in the history, you know, in football over the last 5 years in the history of football. So I want to see this. I want to see it again. I want to see these two guys make adjustments. Saban's going to make as many adjustments as Kirby. Like, this is the matchup, Dominique.
Yeah, I agree. But before we get to that game, I think the Alabama-Cincinnati game, like, we're dismissing it, but I think it deserves some legitimate analysis. And I want some help, like, answering this question. How many trick plays is Cincinnati going to run? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, I just want to know how many – are they going the Boise
route? Oh, no,
they
got to do the
route?
Thing.
Like, how many
Dominique.
How many passes will they – that's a good one. Over, under, three passes in one play. Like, only one forward pass, but I think we got one to the receiver, one back to the running back, then one back to the quarterback, and then one forward pass to the end zone.
They're going to do the thing where they get a uniform that's the exact same color of the end zone and lie down. Can Cincinnati do that?
No, they're going to do the Geico commercial where they put the football in a stroller and then they stroll it all the way to the end zone. It's just me with a baby.
Do you remember that Kenny Pickett fake kneel? Remember that?
Yes.
Imagine an entire offense built around that play.
Oh, God. Man. Yeah, so no one gave me an answer. So three trick plays?
Three per series.
I'm going
over.
Taking the over on that.
You're taking the over on I'll
way
take,
over.
Yeah, I'm going for the push. It's three.
Cincinnati's playbook is entirely composed of city names and the word special after it. Yeah.
Skyline chili special.
Love it.
All right. Our next, what are the chances? And we have a video for this
the
one.
The running play, by the way. The what? Runs.
That's good. What are the chances this cat has better core strength than you?
I just got a cat today, guys.
Whoa! Well, hold on.
Oh, hit it.
Lots
bam.
To talk about. Wow.
Get it. Go. Go.
Oh, my God.
Pretty bad form, though, but, I mean, it's impressive that he's doing it.
I mean...
Did the cat just watch its owner work out and then try to copy it, or did they actually train? Because training a cat's pretty hard, from what I understand.
Well, from what you understand, what's the deal with this cat you just got?
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into, like...
The kids wanted a pet, and my wife gave in and got them a cat, and it finally got here today, and...
Today!
Yeah, the cat's name is Storm Lamar Miracle. I have three kids, and they all got to pitch in with names, so we got Storm Lamar Miracle.
Can you break down those three parts of that?
What's that?
Source? Can you source where each
oh, yeah,
name
sure. So
from?
My oldest is very into Marvel and likes Storm, the superhero, so that.
Yeah. Aurora Monroe, yeah. Mm.
The youngest just thought, she's five, she thought Miracle was a fun word. And in the middle is my only boy, who happens to be a big Ravens fan.
So he didn't go Tyler on that. He's still a Lamar guy.
Yeah,
huh?
He's sticking Lamar. Like I sent a text to one of my friends like, man, I'm so happy that Tyler Huntley is not white because we would have to deal with everyone telling us that Lamar Jackson should be benched. But alas, we are in a new America where even like I celebrated when I saw some tweets that were like, hey, this Tyler Huntley guy might need to finish out the season. I was like, wow, we're in a slightly better yet worse place.
The cousin of that argument that I saw yesterday was, well, Lamar shouldn't be paid $40 million if Tyler Huntley can do this. Like
oh
that was
gosh.
Those were the worst tweets I saw yesterday. That was like it's real bad. It's gotten real bad. We need the holidays to come.
Oh, man.
I don't know. 0%. I still got a six pack even though I'm old.
Yeah, Dominique is so this is the other thing, Kevin. Dominique self-deprecates how old he is and then he's like more jacked than ever. You know, I'm just shocked you wore a hoodie on the last show of 2021, to be honest, because
genetics.
Normally it's just like,
I'm saving it for the last part. I'm going to strip down and give everybody what they came here for. Sorry, podcast audience.
Kevin, I want to go last on this.
Okay.
The form
was tough. I'm going to go 50%. I would need to see a larger sample size. Because listen, anybody can do it for that short of a video. Like, but you gotta.
That's fair.
There's a cardio element that comes in at some point.
It's also an assessment of your own core strength too.
Yeah, like, it's not bad. It's not bad. I gotta tell you.
Okay, well, I think you got this cat beat. I think it's better than 50-50. But hey, who am I to judge?
Yeah, I just need to see more.
Okay.
I'm gonna go 49%. And the only reason I have doubts about this is that I'm not entirely sure that cat isn't doing the thing that Joe Rogan is saying he can do.
Which is?
You know.
Come on.
I don't know. Alabaster, you know.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable now. Anytime you bring up Joe Rogan, it makes me nervous.
Show that video again. You'll get it.
Oh, never mind. Don't show that video again. Don't. I just figured it out. Alabaster, could you do me a favor, though? Could you write the number 9 just in that open space right there? Just for me, please. Please?
No. You're going to make fun of me for hiring.
I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not doing
it. Wait.
Just
write the number nine, please.
I promise you, I won't
maybe
say
in 20,
a word.
Maybe in 2022. You could have made your answer 99%. You could have made it 9%. You could have made it 19%.
I went 0 first. I didn't realize that I was interested in your penmanship.
Do we have any more oddsmaker? Is this what this game is called? What are we calling this game?
Let's go.
What are we calling this oddsmaker ripoff game? What are the chances, right? Okay. Are we done with this game?
We are. We're moving on to a new game.
Oh, I was going to choose 999 million for the next one. Damn it.
I think he was on next to you. Game. There probably was one more question that he just refused to put up there.
He bailed out of that
you
video.
Guys,
of
you guys
that cat
really
truly...
did not look at the rundown, huh?
What? What's that?
All right. We're moving on to if then. We'll give you a statement. They'll fill it out. First one. If the 49ers beat the Titans tomorrow night, then blank.
Ooh, if the 49ers beat the Titans tomorrow night, then I will have changed my opinion about the 49ers and the Titans about 9 times. Yeah. I thought they were bad, then they're good, then they're bad, then they're good again. And I think that is the summary of my analysis.
The Titans have an excuse or multiple excuses. They've been ravaged by injuries in a way that I think maybe only the Ravens could compare. And they still had some decent success. The 49ers, the way that they've turned this season around, I think is in large part because Jimmy Garoppolo is playing better. But this defense just has showed up in a way that we've come to expect from 49ers defenses, but we haven't seen, especially with the injuries and the holes that they have in the secondary.
Yes.
I think the 49ers are a team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs.
Ooh,
they have reached that status.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If the 49ers win tomorrow night, they are the team nobody wants to see. Because not only, Dominique, are they a good team that's getting hot and Jimmy Garoppolo is getting better, but beyond that, they're just a team that's hard to prepare for. Like, nobody wants to play this team in January. Deebo Samuel is leading the NFL in rushing average, and he's at the top, near the top in receiving average. He is as unique as anybody in the sport right now. He's unbelievable. Kyle Shanahan is a bad general manager, okay, alongside John Lynch. We've seen this over and over and over again. He has no idea what to do with personnel. But the reason he's valuable is because he can fix his own problems over the course of the season. That's why he's such a good coach. He's figured out how to play with this team. He knows it. He understands that the defense is getting better under the new defensive coordinator, DeMeco Ryans. Like, this is a really interesting team that if I'm Green Bay, if I'm Dallas, if I'm Tampa Bay, I want somebody else to deal with this team in a couple weeks.
So does that make the Titans a team you absolutely do want to play?
Yeah.
Are we at that point?
Yeah, probably.
I think if you're at the top of the AFC, you're hoping the Titans sneak in, and you're hoping you get them, the Derrick Henry-less Titans. Julio's not playing anymore, and their defense is – their front on defense when healthy is impressive, but there's holes throughout the rest of that defense. So they are holding it together with chewing gum and duct tape, I believe is the saying. That won't last.
Very old
long.
Person, an old person aphorism.
I'm old.
Appropriately.
I like Africanisms too.
I'm a Orientalisms guy myself.
Don't bring it back. Like, I already feel bad, and I feel
still
like
hurts.
It still hurts. It had nothing to do with being rude or disrespectful. Yeah. We were doing like a whodunit movie.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Agatha Christie. I just chose that one.
A whodunit movie up in the air and was hoping you could do something with it. And then I realized that was not the right thing to do. And I apologize. And then you told everybody.
So just for the record, for the podcast audience, while Dominique and I do that, Kevin Clark is, I think, consulting more information that he can give us because there is somehow still more show left, Alabaster.
Is there? Really?
All right, next topic. If the Cardinals lose their third straight game on Saturday, then blank.
I waited until the last show of the year to get us all fired. I made it a while.
You impersonated Mario.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
The good news is I don't even work here. So I'm good. You guys do what you need to do. I'm all set. Man. I got another job.
All right, Kevin, you answer the question then.
Okay. All right. So if the Cardinals lose on Saturday, then they have a cliff problem. Okay. Last 3 years, started 3-3-1 in 2019, 2-7 in the season. 2020, they start 5-2 and 3-6. 2021, they start 7-0. They're 3-4 since then.
More numbers.
That's ridiculous. And one of the things about Cliff Kingsbury, guys, is we didn't know how he could adjust to the NFL level. And the answer was he was okay at the beginning, but he doesn't make adjustments as the season goes along. That's not uncommon. Sean McVay struggles with adjustments down the stretch. They have kind of similar systems, similar vibes, but Sean McVay is a much better coach. But at some point, Cliff needs to understand how to close the season. Now, Kyler's been banged up. We understand that. Colt McCoy was under center for a long time. In some cases, Colt McCoy has had a higher EPA than Kyler Murray these last couple weeks. So that's interesting to watch. I do think that the ankle injury, the shoulder injury last year, that stuff takes a toll. But right now, there's a great write-up of it on Pro Football Focus this morning. Kyler's really struggling with two high safeties. Really struggling with that Brandon Staley type of defense, the type employed by the Rams still, the type employed by the Packers. He is an explosive guy. And when there are defenses that are designed to take the explosive pass away, he leads the NFL still in big-time throw percentage. When defenses take that away, they struggle. This is on Cliff Kingsbury to come up with something else other than Kyler saves them with big plays. It's on you, Cliff, and I don't know if you can do it, buddy.
Ooh, direct right to Cliff's face. It's on you, Cliff, and I don't know if you can do anything about it. The pressure's on Cliff with a K and two Fs, right? That's how he spells it.
It is.
K and two F's. Yeah, no, Cliff, there's the Cliff, turns out. Not the Brady Cliff, the Cliff. Ooh, Cliff. And we're over
pretty
it.
Good. That.
That's nice.
We're over it.
Going off the cliff. That's the only analysis we can offer after Kevin gave us all those numbers and
yeah,
stats.
Yeah, I mean, that was really good, about Cliff, honestly. Super persuasive.
Spell his name and all that stuff.
I just said his name twice in a row and wandered into a take somehow, so... Cliff.
I mean, I think that it's...
My EPA is off the charts right now.
Yeah, you are an efficient taker. Have a sip. Have a celebratory sip. Good job. Mm. I think that part of this kind of season-long narrative of this Brandon Staley-esque two deep safeties...
Here we go.
Cover four, cover six. Like, this thing that is supposedly tripping up all the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, it's hard for me to accept. I understand that quarterback play around the league is down this year than it has been in recent years. And we all point to that as something to explain it. I don't have a better reason to explain it, but I also know that these aren't new coverages. Like, this is not something that people don't have beaters for. Like, we practice all the time back in the dark ages when I played. We practice how to stop cover four and cover two beaters because they existed back then. So, like, I have a hard time accepting that all of a sudden you keep two safety back and these quarterbacks are so confused and offensive coordinators and head coaches are baffled by this. Like, you have the numbers advantage in the running game, especially when you have a quarterback like Kyler Murray. If they're going to keep two safeties back, whether it's four or two, you have the numbers advantage in the running game. That's something you can do. If it's going to be cover two, there should be holes underneath. And frankly, cover two, there's a hole right down the middle of the field unless they run like Tampa two, in which case they're leaving the middle field wide open with the Mike linebacker. There are holes on the side of the field called honey holes that people call them where you can attack in that situation. If it's cover three, like hit the seams. If they carry the seams, hit the underneath stuff. Like, this stuff is not complicated. As long as you can protect against a four-man rush, these things should not be a problem for Kyler Murray, an athletic quarterback who has an explosive arm, unless you're going to tell me he's too short again to see over the line or something like that.
Wait a second. Okay, so I have a couple takes. Number one, I have the utmost respect for you and your playing career. I've been watching since you were a freshman. I come from a family of Terps. We've gone over this before.
He's genuflecting. What's coming up?
This is a setup.
He's genuflecting.
He's about to dunk on me.
No, I'm just going to push back on a couple of things. Number one thing I'm going to push back on is the too deep thing doesn't apply to Mahomes, who's better against two safeties than he is against one high safety, right? Like, he can do anything. You just run the ball, you figure it out, you take the extra yardage. I do think it matters when your entire offensive strategy, like the Cardinals is let Kyler have a big play and save us. Like that to me is where it becomes a problem. Is I don't know if they have the plays that have the ability to sort of to adjust, and that's the problem. So Kyler can chuck it down the field in ways we haven't seen before. He is so smart, he's so agile, he knows how to take a hit, he's unbelievable. But I feel like if there's anyone who can't make adjustments, it's that offense because of how reliant they are on Kyler bailing them out. Now, you talk about the middle of the field. I don't know the numbers this year, but I have seen some studies that show that Kyler is not amazing over the middle of the field, perhaps because of his height. I'm just throwing out things I've read in the data.
Wow.
Man, this guy.
Wow. Not only did he dissect the points that you made, he judo moved the joke at the end of your previous take and said, actually, that's a really good point that you were forcibly throwing out.
You got fooled by the tone. Like, if you listen to what he said, he actually did not take aim at anything that I said. He brought up Patrick Mahomes, a name that I did not mention, and then went back to Kyler Murray's height as attacking the middle of the field. Nothing that I said there was, like, challenged in any way. Like,
no,
that,
right. I think the 2D safety is a problem for the Cardinals. I really do.
Okay, I know. I was saying generally in the league, it's something that people can beat. Like, I understand.
Right. No, you're no, that's a problem for the Cardinals. I agree with that.
And you're saying it's a problem for Cliff Kingsbury and his ability to design things to attack that, or Kyler Murray's ability to attack in the middle of the field. But the two deep stuff, like, we're talking about zones, unless you're saying two man, which obviously you can't run two man against Kyler Murray because it'll be a wide open run fest. He'll tuck and run. But the thing about playing zone is once the quarterback breaks contain or you get into like a scramble drill situation, zone sets you up for a situation where you have crazy mismatches if you get into that situation. Because the rules on defense are when the quarterback breaks contain or when we're in scramble drill, you latch on to the closest person to you, and that becomes your man. And oftentimes, you're going to get a speedy receiver against a linebacker because that's just where he happens to be, or against a safety. So that type of stuff, like, I think it creates for high variance situations where there are going to be some times that Kyler gets sacked in that situation. There are going to be some times where somebody does not come open and Kyler has to throw it away. But when it works, it's going to be a 40-yard touchdown. So, like, that's the thing that pops in my mind, where there's so many ways to beat this. And it seems like, while it feels like you're being more conservative, and I guess technically you are being more conservative, you're opening yourself up to some pretty big risk, especially when you have an athletic quarterback with an arm as live as Kyler Murray.
Man, that was all very impressive from both of you. Brilliant football minds. I just have a question. Is there a cover one beater as well? Are there beaters for everything like that?
Yeah, I mean, cover one beaters just get open. Right? There is no beater for cover one. Like, if you can play man coverage, like lockdown man coverage, like, no, there's nothing to beat it. But the problem is they make all the rules so it's impossible to actually win in one-on-one man coverage with no help.
Yeah, I asked because it looked like that cat was trying to be a cover one beater.
Oh, gosh.
All right. You guys ready for some bonus topics?
I appreciate it. Like, you are a pro. I thought you might have gave him a sympathy laugh because you're a pro, but you didn't. And I respect that.
The podcast audience that we're endorsing.
The podcast audience is going to watch this back, and they're going to be like, wow, that joke had levels to it.
Oh, gosh.
We're just staring straight at the camera like Jim Halpert here. We're just looking right in. I want the podcast listener to know that's exactly what we're doing here.
You guys, we got two bonus topics here. First one.
Very good.
From our friend, Long Live the Queen. And she says, Dominique calling other people nerds like he didn't go to Harvard. With the Spider-Man for our podcast.
Like, as that comes up all the time. Like, I went to the University of Maryland. I'm a Terp. Business school is a whole nother thing. And business school is not for the smart people. The law school is where the smart people go. Business school is –
It's for the corrupt people.
Exactly. Correct. Yeah. It's for the greedy, corrupt people. Oh, you thought I was going to be offended? No.
All right, we got one more.
So, yeah, okay.
Next one. Last one.
Cross that river, it gets dark. Commenters.
If Dominique had any say in his cat's name, it would have been named Dak Storm Lamar Miracle.
Ooh, good point. Again, am I supposed to be offended? Dak is a great cat's name. It's a great quarterback's name, too. Would you rather follow Dak or Lamar? Oh, yeah, those are still pretty good quarterback names. Yep. We have effectively cornered the market on great quarterback / cat names. Are there any other quarterbacks who would have a good cat name? Patrick, not a great cat name.
No. Patrick.
How do you feel about Tua as a cat name?
Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick
Mahomes. That might be a little too cute for me. I feel like Tom, you can't go Tom because Tom and Jerry.
Right.
Right. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
Nah, now you're just doing this. Nope. We will not do Ryan. You just squeezed him into
Ryan
the show even though he's been hurt.
Your
all
security
long.
System agrees with me. It beeped and they were like, that was a great joke.
I thought
Pablo.
I turned that off.
You got one.
So Kevin can't wait to get out of here.
You got to like clean him. The litter he's box now. How does this work? Kevin, did you have dogs or cats growing up? I didn't have either.
I was not a pet guy. No.
I had
grew up in an apartment. Did nothing. Nothing.
I'm sorry.
So
we're coming to a nice, sad ending to this year's year's round of debatable. It's winding.
Oh wow!
To
now the countdown.
Miserable,
now the countdown
disappointing.
Comes on, guys.
Pablo, the pressure's on you for a great dismount. What do you got?
Okay, here we go. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
That's it.
Good show.
See you next year.
Did I nail it?
Good job, buddy. Congratulations. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
I'm glad we won the war on Christmas. We're still saying Merry Christmas. Good win for us, guys.
Let's just all stare into the camera now. This is awkward. See you in 2022.
Will we?